Welcome to Real Talk Love Therapy. I'm Eli.
I'm Daisha.
Where we cut the bullshit, challenge stereotypes of what love looks like for the millennial age. This week's episode is
I just think that this is a campaign for me to be able, this is a sign that it's my time.
You know what? Yeah, go ahead. Go. I'll give it to you. We're wrapping up this season. Go ahead.
All right. Fine. Okay. What do you say?
Yeah, throw some stank on it, see?
What? Fuck off.
One more time.
That's because I'm mad because you out here always never letting me have my moment.
All right.
Is a polyamorous relationship right for you?
To this episode of Real Talk Love Therapy, we just have to give a shout out to some very, very special Patreon supporters.
Yes, yes, y'all. We are going to show love to Patrick McMurray, to Rosario Solano, to Max Iglesias,
and Katie LeBlanc. Thank you so much for supporting us. And if y'all want to get a shout out, check out patreon.com/Real Talk Love Therapy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Our guest.
All right, so for this week, we have YouTube personality and trans activist and self-proclaimed SJW.
I mean, I'm more of a social justice black mage, but some people like to say that I'm a social justice warrior, which is, in my opinion, an inferior class, but that's fine.
I like black mage. That's
yeah.
Black
taking mage. It very to medieval a whole times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that.
Very medieval
very
times.
Very middle earth of... wokeness, you know?
I'm super woke.
It's like, you know, free the elves, you know? It's like, that's...
Elves are an oppressed minority.
Yeah.
I support the drow uprising.
Yeah, there you go. I dig it.
Yes, but I don't think I said your name. Cat Black.
Yes, that's my name.
We kind of went straight to Middle Earth jokes and like...
Didn't even get your name out yet.
Yeah.
But we're so excited to have you on the couch, and Kat is going to be taking us into the world of polyamory.
Mm-hmm.
We're so curious. So Eli and I don't have experience in the world of polyamory whatsoever.
Okay.
So we're really curious, like, what would you say defines polyamory? Like, what is it?
So polyamory, it's important to understand that language around polyamory is relatively new. A lot of people have their own sort of idea of what polyamory is, and polyamory can change based on who you talk to. But for me, and I think for most people, polyamory is just simply the idea that you can love more than one person at the same time. Yeah. There's so many different structures of polyamory. It works super differently for different people. For me, it means that I have several different partners, and they're all very aware of each other. It's not this situation where someone has to find out about someone. Mm. It's all communication based. Everyone knows what's going on. And in some situations, there are people who are very excited at the idea of people forming new relationships with other people. So
my question from that is, so is it that you have multiple partners, or are you like group dating somebody, or like does that basically depend on the couple?
Yeah, so like I said, polyamory is different for everyone. It's always, talking about poly is very dicey for me in a way, because I just got out of a 5-year relationship, and I am not quite at the point where I want a what we call primary, which is usually like a partner who you see as your
number one.
Your number one, you know, that's the head bay.
Before anyone else.
Head
bay in charge.
Head bay in charge. And so I'm not really ready for that. And I'm also definitely not ready for what someone would call a nesting partner, which would be a primary partner who you would theoretically live with, have children with, build your life with, da-da-da-da. Mm. So I'm not particularly ready for that, but it's definitely something that I'm open to in the future. I've known a lot of people who I know people who date people together, especially with the way that the polyamory community is sort of set up. A lot of times that means you'll have a straight couple. Let me walk that back. You'll have a man and a woman in a relationship, the woman is bisexual, and so maybe they as a couple will date one woman, and they will all together date. And sometimes that is, for a lot of people, the more productive way of doing polyamory, because you're both involved in the conversation, you're both there, that's something you're both doing, and there's no weird miscommunication or lack of understanding of what this relationship is. Theoretically, that's how it goes. Now, if you meet enough poly people, you will find very quickly that polyamory means and works very differently for everyone, and a lot of people got their terrible, like, we tried to bring this person into our relationship and it ruined our relationship, or she tried to do this, or that happened, da 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 da, or there was jealousy, and da 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 da. So that will happen. So it can seem in a way like that doesn't work, poly doesn't work. But I've definitely met a lot of people who have had very fulfilling, good, healthy, communication-based polyamorous relationships with more than one person. Right now, for me, it means I have a guy that I'm dating. I've been dating him for about a year in California, and I have like a long-distance relationship with a guy who I'm seeing in Portland, who I'm flying to San Francisco to see tomorrow. And then I have all these other people, some of whom are husbands of people that I personally know, boyfriends of people that I personally know, or just people that I've gotten to know within my polyamory circle. And that's basically what it works, how it works for me.
Whoa.
I know, there's just so much to unpack there.
Yeah.
When you say, like, your primary.
Yeah.
It's like, the thing is, it's, like, so similar to what people do that aren't poly. Like,
that's my main.
Like, it's like, I'm, like, because, yeah, you have your main, and then you have your sides.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
But,
I mean, I've never.
Why does it feel so weird coming from you?
What do you mean it's weird coming from me?
You got your main, and you got your
side. No, just like, but those are the terms that are in place, but that's the thing. But you're not in a relationship. Like,
yeah.
It's, so, like, say a guy, it's like, yeah, no, I got my main girl. She's the one I actually, like, take out. Then I got my side girls.
Well, you Netflix and chill.
And I Netflix and chill with. And it's just so, but it's like there's some issues there. It's like,
but I feel like conflicting. In the relationship you're talking about, it's usually not open communication.
They're exactly.
Like
right.
The sides, the main not. Don't know that the sides exist.
Uh-huh. And then there's
what I
a
mean.
Fight.
That's the interesting yes. thing.
And then people are coming over people's houses.
Yes. Slashing tires.
I mean,
you can't say that, oh no, you're my side.
Mm-hmm.
But can you say you're not my primary?
Well, it really depends. I mean, so. Well, first of all, I wanted to say was that poly for me, and I, when I was first looking, so when I was in college, right, I went on a lot of dates with a lot of different people, and it was just very normal to me. And my sweet mate at the time just saw me go on all these dates, and he was like, well, here's a book that you should read. And the book was called Ethical Slut. And, you know, like, I was raised incredibly Christian. And when he handed me a book that was called The Ethical Slut, I basically was like, you're calling me a slut. Screw you. I'm throwing this book away. But The Ethical Slut is like a book about polyamory. And it's a book that you can read as somebody who is polyamorous or someone who is not poly. And it's something that a lot of people see as almost in a way like a Bible of polyamory. And I'm just now starting to read it. And it's interesting because what you'll start to sort of see around you from people who are dating is that a lot of people are doing things that are basically poly, but they're too afraid to actually communicate that. They're too afraid to say, you know what, I really, really, really like you, but I've got this interest in this other person, and my interest in this other person does not erase the feelings I have for you. I'm not trying to replace you. I'm just saying I also have this interest in this other person. It was, for me, very interesting. It's always been very interesting for me to look at my change and how I've looked at polyamory, because, like, I literally have a video that I made with my ex-boyfriend where we talk about polyamory, and I'm like, I would never do it. It's just not my thing. I'm real happy that it works for those people, but that's just not something that I would ever do. And of course, there's nothing like a very monogamous relationship to help you understand that you were poly. And so for me, it's like when I started having that understanding towards the end of my relationship that, like, I was probably polyamorous, it was really confusing because when I got into my last relationship, you know, I was like, oh, I want to be monogamous. I want that's all I want. I want a boyfriend who I'm this and this and that with, and that's all I want. And so when my social circle grew and I realized that I had feelings for other people, it was very confusing. And I felt very sort of scared because I didn't know what this said about me. And I think that those feelings are very normal, but people, I think because we're raised in a very monogamous-based society, yeah, and, you know, that's the way that everyone dates, it's hard for some people to ever come to the point where they're like, oh, this is a thing I can do, and that's okay. And for me, the that's okay part is really the communication. One of the things that you will see, I mean, I'm saying this and I'm also going to have an aside of saying you can still miscommunicate and cheat and do a lot of other shit in a polyamorous relationship. But for me, one of the things that I love about it is people are usually pretty honest and pretty straightforward. Mm. So even when it comes to, like, you're asking about, you know, dealing with people, primary things like that. So my experience so far in polyamory is that I've dated a lot of men who were married or had girlfriends. And for me, the immediate understanding from that is that that is their primary relationship. That is, you know, a relationship that I'm going to respect. And maybe just because of where I'm at the point, I'm not really demanding much more from them. There's definitely people who are dishonest when they're in that situation. Like I dated a guy who is married and, you know, his wife was on OkCupid with him and everything. And I thought that was just so cool and hashtag progressive. And it took us 4 dates for him to, like, really tell me and explain to me that his wife was not only not poly, but, like, was definitely not comfortable with him actually being intimate with other people. And we had, like, kissed and done all this other stuff, but he wasn't going back to his wife and being honest about where he was.
So he was just putting her picture up there just cause.
Well, she had an account, and, like, what happened in that situation is he was caught doing shit he shouldn't have done. And that led to them having a conversation about polyamory. I didn't know this until our 4th date. That led to them having a conversation about polyamory. And so then in that conversation, she sort of said, well, you know what? There's a guy at work who I think is really cute. And he was like, oh, okay. Well, wow, maybe this will work out. And so in their pursuit of trying to be poly, she really realized that this was not what she wanted to do. That was not who she was. And of course he was the one pushing it. And so, you know, he was a little disappointed by that because she, through pursuing poly, was really like, oh, this is not me at all. But he is someone who is very much polyamorous. And so we stopped dating because he basically was like, well, I want to stay with my wife and I'm really, really happy with her, but also I'm polyamorous and this is how I feel. Wow. But then it's like, and I just told him, because I'm such a no bullshit sort of person. I'm sorry for cursing.
Please. We curse all the fucking time.
I'm such a no bullshit fucking person.
Yes.
that I'm like, look, because I'm such a, I'm a very ripped wound.
Ooh, I can tell by that clap.
Lower down the audio on that one.
Well, you know, when black people start clapping, it's, you know, I'm a very rip the bandage off the wound sort of person. And I'm like, look, long term, you're poly. You want to be other people. We've talked about fucking. You know you want to do that. You're with this person who you love. And I understand that. But if the bottom line is that you're poly, I don't understand why you would want to continue to be in a relationship where you are miserable.
Yeah.
Where, you know, because I told him, I was like, listen, she's young. She's got years ahead of her. She can meet a guy who is going to be monogamous with her. You know, you don't have to really steal those years from her if you know you're poly and this is who you are. But of course, coming to that point, I mean, it's easier said than done. I'm saying it, but I'm also not married to her.
Right.
They've been married for decades. You know, they're not, he's not just going to drop her for
decades.
I'm into older men.
How many years? How old is this person?
He's in his 40s.
She has many years left and they've been married for decades. They got married at 10.
So. Well, I mean, so I know you're joking, but it's interesting because sometimes people I've met that are poly, sometimes what it is they get married very, very young. And for years, they were synergetic. Everything was fine. But then maybe, you know, maybe they still have that strong love for each other, but also recognize that they have an openness to explore other people.
Interesting.
And sometimes through exploring other people, their love for each other is intensified and they're able to sort of explore things that they couldn't with their partner that they really wanted to. And so in a way, sometimes I like there's one guy who I'm sort of seeing, he's a little too submissive for me, but we'll see. And he and his partner, I mean, he's very much like, I love her, but we're kind of mismatched, you know, in some ways. And so for some people, that's what it is. People have various reasons for being polyamorous.
Yeah, totally makes sense. I also wanted to throw in there, like, how next level cheaters that move would have been if he put his picture of his wife on the dating app. Like, how baller would that move be? Because I'm like, I'm going to tell the... You can't tell the wife because the wife's down because there's photos of my wife on there. It's like, that's a bold move. I don't know. I just thought about it.
What are you saying?
I mean, like if you're cheating on your wife, you put your wife in your photos of your dating app so people see the wife and they don't question if you're cheating because they're...
So the wife's right there.
Front and center.
So you're giving fuckboy psychology right now.
No, I'm just saying, like, I never thought about that. That's like really like you're playing a high stakes game, but a game that could work. I don't know. That, I'm just saying, that's, I mean, not to divert the conversation, but that would have been an interesting one.
Well, you know what was really messed up was the fourth date we went on. She was like over at the Staples Center at some concert, and he was like, well, she would like to join us. And I was like, does she know that we've been talking about sex and that we've made out and all this other stuff? And that, you know, of course she didn't. And so he wanted me to like lie to her face.
Yikes.
Sort of thing. No. And I was like, oh, wow, that's just really not me. That's not me. I mean, one of the reasons why I am poly is because I want to be honest with my partners. I don't want that weird dishonesty lying thing.
It sounds so... It's pretty much like what so many single people are doing now.
Already.
But it's like no communication.
Yeah, no communication.
It's essentially that's what it is, but no communication.
People are selfish. Like, because I think it's the same thing with this guy where he's like, oh, well, I really like her and she doesn't like it, but I can't help myself. Do you know what's so funny about all of this is because, like, so much of... I'm really curious to hear about your transition from being that person who was, like, not about it to now being about it. Because, like, you know, when I was in college, so I basically, like, fell in love with, like, one of my best friends. And, like, she was, I guess you could say polyamorous. She had really bad commitment issues. And so, and she didn't necessarily really like to date people. And so, and I was also trying to, like, figure myself out at the time. And, like, basically, she met this girl who she was just like, I think I really like this girl. I think I want to be in a relationship with her. So I freaked out. And so I told her how I felt about her. And she was like, oh my gosh. This is, as I was saying, I was telling Eli about how I get into these almost relationships. And she was one of them because she was like, oh, well, I thought you'd never like me. So like I like completely like put that out the back of my head. And so we were trying to figure out what to do. And she was just like, oh, like what if we're like, what if, you know, we're all together. And I was just like,
not for me. It's a no for me, dog.
Well, because it felt like, I was like, I feel like I'm a side piece. And I think that was back then, I had a really hard time with this idea of being a side piece. Especially because I was like, I was here before this bitch, and then now you gonna come and make it. And then there was also a racial thing too, because that girl that she was into was white. And so for me, it just kind of felt like you know, because
you're not as important.
Yeah. And like, because long story short, she ended up like at some point being like, oh, well, I'm deciding. Oh, it was the way in which she said it. She was like, I'm deciding to be with her, but maybe we could all date. And I was just, that's where it then became the race thing.
It's clearly like she's here.
Yeah.
And you're here. And like, we can maybe include you, but I'm still going to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's what was really hard. So I think that I, from that experience, like, it was just, like, I think that I had issues with this idea of being a side piece, and then there was that element of it on top of it that I feel like I was very against. But, like, I don't know, now, like, I don't know, I feel like I'm a lot more open to the idea of it. I don't feel like I'm in a place where I'd actively pursue it, but I do feel like, you know, life is... People want to say life is short, and in some ways it is, but it's also pretty long. And
it's very
like,
long.
You know, the idea of just being with one person in a lot of ways just seems so like not possible, or like, I don't know, like, because there are just so many really cool, amazing people out there. And like, I do think that part of the appeal of polyamory is that idea you talked about where it's like it can reinvigorate your love for someone else.
Yeah.
Because I did a relationship science class, and something that we talked about was like, you know, is passion something that's sustainable? Mm. And they, a lot of people were arguing that like, no, after a certain period of time, like that's why they say that like you should marry someone that feels like your best friend, because they eventually do turn into your best friend, because that's what happens when passion subsides. Mm. But then I think polyamory does add that interesting layer of, potentially being that thing that could rekindle your relationship. But yeah, like I'm curious about your transition from being that person that wasn't about it to being about it.
I've got so much to say. So much. So for me, I think my coming into polyamory really coincided with me actually growing to like myself more. Like, so for the longest time when I was younger, a lot of the men who would approach me were already married or, you know, had a girlfriend of some sort, and they really wanted some sort of like, you know, come to, you know, this hotel room, or, you know, my wife's out of town, we can do this sort of thing. And that was just what was offered to me so frequently. And so I think I started with this like foundation of, this can't possibly be all I can ever get. You know, I deserve more than that, but I didn't really believe that at the time. And so for me, I know I just wanted to prove to myself at one point that I could be in a normal relationship where I've got this monogamous person that I'm with, who I love, and this all da-da-da-da-da, and I'm not engaging. I mean, when I was younger and married, people would contact me. I always said no, because I had a very big thing about karma, you know, and I was like, I never want that to happen to me, so I'm not going to do that to you know, who you're with. But I just got so sick of that being my only approach, so I was hyper-focused on finding a consistent relationship that is monogamous. And so, you know, but like I was around this time, I was going through different like transition things. I was also, you know, figuring out what I was going to do with my life. There's just a lot of stuff that I was figuring out, and I didn't really feel like a full person. I didn't really start to feel like a full person until I graduated college. And then I started to travel for speaking, actually, because after I graduated college, I did get into a monogamous relationship. And it was one where we moved to Orange County. I didn't know.
Orange County.
Yes. I grew up in LA County. We moved to Orange County where he was working. I was working from home at the time, so it kind of made sense. I lost all of my friends. I was not around my family, who I'm not very close to anyway, but you know, that's someone to talk to at least. And he was my end all be all and everything. And the people who I did know out there were like his friends. And so I felt very, very isolated. And then when I started traveling and speaking, it was like, oh, wow, my world is becoming larger. When I started going to conventions and things, I started, my YouTube channel became more successful. I started to meet more people and my world became larger. And I started to really like myself a lot. You know, I had been in a certain trajectory in terms of feeling like a full person, and you know, especially when it comes to like finishing transition and all that stuff. And at this point in my life, I definitely started to feel like a fuller, rounder person. And through that, I very much started to understand that I did not need a man to anchor me to feel like a valid, full, well-rounded person.
Say it again. Say it again.
And you know, it's, I think, so for me, a lot of when people have reactions to the people that they're with, and I still feel this way, so I'm not saying I'm pure, but when they have reactions to people that they're with wanting, having interest in other people, a lot of that has to do with insecurity, you know? And I do have real bad, like, I have a really bad thing about people deserting me, so I'm very much, like, still unpacking a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, how are you insecure in polyamory? That's
well, it's like, very easy.
Or like, oh no, I'm sorry, not insecure, but like, how do you, yeah, how does like cheating,
how do you manage it?
Like, how do you deal with the insecurity? Like, yeah, that's.
I mean, not very well. I mean, some people deal with it better than others. For me, like towards the end of my last relationship, like without getting into deep detail, like I really I recognized that my ex was kind of maybe into some stuff that I really wasn't. And I recognized that, like, you know, I really love this person. I mean, so it was two ways. It was like, A, I wanted to do stuff that he didn't want to do. and he want me to do stuff that I would never do. And so I was like, you know, I love you. That doesn't change, you know, these things. Knowing this about what you like does not change how I feel about you. But I also know it's a hard no for me. But because I love you, I'm okay with you finding that with someone else. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that kind of came from this point of love for him and understanding that, you know, even though we were doing things with other people, well, we never did. Because, of course, his response to me saying that was like, oh, no, I only ever want to be with you. I was like, oh, okay, great. Yeah. I knew that, like, at the end of the day, I wanted him to have those experiences. And I also felt that if he loved me, he would allow me to have some of those experiences as well, because life was so short. We started dating when I was 21. Yeah. I just turned 28. Like there was a lot of stuff that, like, I, you know, like, wanted to do when I was younger that he just didn't want to do with me. And I feel like maybe we would have probably still been together. I mean, I wouldn't date him now, but, like, I think if we had that conversation, maybe it would have changed to where we were still together. People are insecure all the time. I mean, there's still, for a lot of people, that fear of, like, what if he meets someone better than me? What if, you know, they connect in a way? Like, one of my partners, his wife, he's divorced now, but his wife and him decided to allow this guy to come into their relationship. And he could almost notice, like, immediately that, like, they connected in a way that that him and his wife just didn't. And slowly but surely, it ended up being a thing where he felt very pushed out of the relationship, and then they started dating. And now they're monogamous. They're not even poly. So it's like a thing where it's possible to still be insecure in poly relationships, because sometimes that's the fear, is that you'll find someone better and then you'll still leave them. I mean, for them, I know there was basically a lot of miscommunication. She had certain rules about his polyamory that weren't in line with what he wanted to do. So there was a lot of, I guess, resentment in ways, because they were open, but not really, you know.
Interesting.
And so I know that in both situations, his marriage and mine, it was unfair. Well, not I wasn't married, but my relationship, it was unfair to almost look at this one person as, like, the end-all, be-all for everything. And to me, that's also where poly comes from as well, is that I know that it's unfair for me to say, like, this one person has to be all of the things that I want slash need slash desire slash are curious about. I enjoy that I have different partners who maybe do this but don't do that, and the other ones who do this and do that. And then, like, at some point, if we really wanted to, we could all hang out with each other, and it's good. I like that.
Interesting. That's like, because that's my biggest thing, is that, like, I don't think I could do it. I think I could do it if I'm not emotionally invested in someone.
Because
that's essentially what people who aren't poly are doing. Like, as far as, like, a guy, we kind of talked about it in the last episode, where as far as, like, men goes, there's a lot of insecurity,
mm-hmm.
with just, like, other partners, exactly, mm-hmm. like, not only emotionally, totally. But physically, too, of just, like,
mm-hmm.
man, what if she's getting it better than the next guy, and I'm mm-hmm. just, like, kicked to the curb? Like, it's a lot of it's insecurity, but also it's the case where a lot of guys, I feel like, emotionally, they'll be like, why would I go through all the trouble of investing emotionally in you if you're mm-hmm. giving it up for other people?
Yeah.
So it's like, I could be with multiple people. It's not a problem. But those are the people I have fun with. I'm not mm-hmm. investing in my emotions
yeah.
in this person. So I think that's the fear of, like, okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to invest in that, but then you're everyone's with everybody.
I've had a lot of conversations with men where they're like, why would I, you know, because I'm very simple. If I'm just trying to get to know someone, let's go to a restaurant, let's go get a drink, whatever. I've had men say to me, why would I do that for you? When you're having sex with other people, why don't we just fuck, you know? Like, they want to be
right.
not invested in me because I'm poly. And they don't get that I'm poly, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to sleep with everyone and that I'm not looking for some sort of emotional investment, you know? Because with all the people I'm seeing, I do have emotional investments in them. And sometimes that's the frustrating aspect of it, is that, you know, you sometimes do get very emotionally invested in people who maybe aren't as emotionally invested in you, or maybe because of mm-hmm. their other relationships, they don't have, like, the logistical time to do all the things that you want from them.
So would you say that polyamory and open relationships are two different things? Because
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely. Okay. I personally... So I kind of have a thing where, like, everyone's an individual. We're all special snowflakes and all that jazz. But whenever I hear someone say, I'm in an open relationship, I almost immediately understand that that's not going to work out. Only because... Sometimes an open relationship means, like, you know, if you're at a party and you fuck someone, that's fine, but, like, don't tell me about it, you know? And that's fine for some people, but it's not what I'm looking for. A lot of people who are in open relationships, they do this thing where they're open for a period of time, and then they close their relationship where they're no longer open. And that, to me, is very different from polyamory. Like, I very much understand now that I don't ever want to be in another monogamous relationship. I don't have this thing where I can be poly, but then also monogamous in certain situations. Like, I don't know what kind of amazing man with many heads would have to exist for me to be like, oh, I'm only going to date you and you alone, and I'm totally okay with that, and that's all I want. And I know that that's something long-term. That's not just where I am because I'm just getting out of a relationship. Like, I know that I'm a polyamorous person. People who are in open relationships are emotionally very monogamous, and so sometimes when you meet people who are in open relationships as a poly person, it can be very frustrating because maybe you'll start to get emotionally invested in someone who's just having a good time because they have, for now, an agreement to an open relationship.
True. That's very true. So you could love, like, straight up love multiple people.
It hasn't happened yet, but I know it's possible.
You know it's possible. So, So what happens if it's like, hey, bae, my tire's flat, but also, hey, bae, can you pick, you know, Johnny up at school? He doesn't have a ride. And then also, hey, bae, I need you to get me at the airport. Something can't. Who? Why? How do you divvy up and choose based off? You know, you love all three of them. They all need your attention. Mm. How do you divvy up that time and space?
Yeah, how do you
space?
Share your time with your multiple partners?
Well, so for me right now, like this is gonna sound bad, but like there's certain with the two men that I'm solidly dating, they're like the only men where I'm like, if we sleep over with each other and they're still in my bed in the morning, I'm like, cool. There's other people where I'm like, oh, you're still here. And like, yeah. So for me, because there's certain people who I just have connected with for a longer time. And so we spend more time together. And so we don't have, I have more of an expectation of them in their time. There are other people who I don't really know. I'm still getting to know. And I don't necessarily demand a lot of them. Plus, you have to also keep in mind that, I mean, not everyone is doing this. Like, a lot of the men I'm dating, these are not, like, men who are only dating me. They're also dating other people. And, you know, most of them, the two people I'm dating mainly don't have other, like, they're not married to somebody. But they have other people they're seeing. So, in a way, a lot of it's, like, scheduling. Like, every poly person has, like, a calendar.
Yeah.
That they physically have where they're like, I'm going to spend this day with this person and that day with that person. I've got a date night with this person. But you just have to. I mean, I've started dating people who, when we first started talking, they're like, you know what? I'm super down for this and I'm super into this. Da, da, da. And then they just realize, like, ultimately they don't have the fucking time. Like, realistically, they just don't have the time. Like, they can't date and be emotionally invested in, like, three people at once. Maybe two.
That's crazy, because I have issues with, like, one girlfriend. I can only imagine with, like, three girlfriends. Like, all of them, like, need, like, my attention and love and stuff. Like, that is draining
for
me. That's because usually I think about it, and usually people think about it, and it's like, oh, it's all sexy fun time. You can do whatever you want, and life is easy and breezy. But there's some management. You're dealing with human beings, essentially, right?
Of course, And you know, going back to the open relationship thing, for me, people in open relationships, you look at people as sexy fun time, usually, and not like, oh, I'm going to be emotionally invested in this person. And so, I don't know, like it's For me, personally, in my poly, there have not been sexy fun times with my partners yet, though I am trying very hard to get that to happen. It just hasn't happened because time, you know, people are in different places, you know. I mean, for some people, like going back to the different people's understanding of what poly is, some people's poly is like I just want to have sex with other people, and like maybe we'll go on a date or whatever, but like I want to be able to have sex with other people, and maybe my wife will join me, maybe she'll not join me, who knows, but I just want to have sex with other people. I'm still, even though I'm very open and, you know, very poly, I'm still very much like, we're not fucking unless we're dating. And
wow,
you know, that's, you know,
I think that's the misconception where it's like, yeah, I'm poly. I'm like, sweet, I'm gonna get ass on the first date. Yeah. Awesome. But like, nope, you gotta put the work in. And I'm like, isn't fucking Johnny and Ralph putting the work? Why can't I just dip my toe in the pool?
Oh my God.
I don't know. I mean, well,
oh, Jesus.
I mean, it's just usually.
And you say you're a reformed fuckboy.
No, dip your toe in the pool.
I'm just saying that it's like, that's what people will say. That's what the thoughts that will bring up, yeah. Which is why we're just, you know, we're dissecting them now.
Well, you have to think about like, so a lot of times people talk about poly and even open relationships, there's always like the fear, the conversation of like STDs will come up. Mm-hmm. So I'll bring this up even though it's kind of embarrassing, but we'll say it. I had a situation with one of the guys I'm still seeing right now where he had sex with somebody who gave him an STD, and he had to do that thing where he calls me and his other partners and be like, hey, I got this thing. And, you know, because of that, you should go get yourself checked out. And so that was uncomfortable because for like a quick moment, I was like, oh, this is an issue with polyamory. I was like, oh, gosh, you know, this is what it is. But then I recognized that what the problem really was that she wasn't communicating with him about her health, mm-hmm. and that, you know, she probably wasn't even thinking about the fact that he's got other partners. And so for me, one of the reasons why I'm very protective about sex is like, I'm not just, you know, I don't have to just worry about the health of me and my partner. I have to worry about the health of their partners as well.
True.
And so, you know, I'm not necessarily super, super open, because I have to be very sensitive to, you know, if I'm physical with someone else, that could impact other people.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I was going to say, too, is that, like, you know, I think that polyamory allows you to be open. Like, he felt like he had to tell you versus, mm-hmm. like, I think when people are in cheating situations, they're not going to disclose any of that, mm-hmm. because then it's like, oh, well, then they're going to ask why, and then it has to unravel so much other stuff. So it's like, you know, like, I do think that there is a value to that, and that, like you said, you have to be honest. You have to communicate those things because there's too many people involved. So in a way, it makes you more sensitive to the needs of others, and like, it does make you think twice about
everything you do. I mean, like, I like to describe poly as like dating on speed, because like you go on dates with people and you have to very quickly like figure out, like, is this a person I'm going to want to spend time with? Because I've got these three other partners I'm seeing. I'm very, very happy with them.
Oh my God.
Can I pencil this person in as well? And so there's several times where I've gone on a date with a guy from the poly circles I'm involved in Los Angeles. And it's like, you know, we very quickly understand we're not going to turn into anything and we're not really looking for the same thing. Or they'll be very blunt and say, look, I think you're really hot and I want to fuck. And I'm like, that's cute, but not tonight, not, you know, no. So it's in a way, because I think it's so interesting to think about like the way that I dated when I was still trying to be monogamous versus now. Because like when I was younger, and I was dating with the intention of finding someone to be monogamous with, I was fucking everybody, you know? I was fucking everybody. I was not really giving a fuck about, you know, what other people felt. And, you know, sometimes there would be situations where maybe I really connected with someone and I'd have to call people up and be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I met this guy, da-da-da-da. And you would spend a lot of time, you know, keeping people on, like, maybe a back burner in a way. When, you know, you already knew that maybe I just like to fuck this person and it's, you know, they should know that, you know, a lot of the poly community is very focused on consent. And so there's like a really big focus on like, I want to make sure that you understand what we're doing before we do it. Uh-huh. I want to make sure that you know what the parameters of my relationship are and what I can and can't do and will and won't do before we get too deep in. Mm.
That's fantastic. I think, yeah, like, all around, like, what you were saying, Daisha, with the communication thing of, like, there's definitely that there. Because, like, the back onto the STD train, I think there needs to be, you know, not that it's a train we ever want to ride on. You know,
no.
But, you know, by all means, sometimes it happens. Yeah, that open communication of just being like that alone, just like even before, like even having sex and like the fear.
There's accountability.
There's accountability there. And I think a lot of people think it would ruin the mood. Uh-huh. Where, like, and I think that's a fear as well. It's like, oh, if we bring it up, then that's going to ruin my chances to, like, book or whatever. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it's on the practice on this side of the table, it's been better sexual situations through that because you're more comfortable. If you could honestly create a comfortable setting of open communication. So open a PSA to everybody. Talk about your situation.
But I almost think it's interesting how there's a lot of stigma on polyamory when there are, more often cases than not, monogamous couples in which somebody is cheating.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I always think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's always an issue. I mean, because I think it's a it goes back to the communication thing, too, in a way. But the interesting thing, too, is like when... In the times that I was, like, actively dating and whatnot, and it's the case where a lot of women may know that we're single and you can do whatever you want, I can do whatever I want, but they don't want to feel like they are the one of multiple. They want to feel like...
Oh, definitely.
They don't want to have that open communication.
Well, they don't want to be the side piece.
Right,
yeah.
They don't want to know, like, hey, just letting you know, there's, like, other people and this and that. They don't want to know. They want to feel like... They know, but they know.
And I will say that I have dated several men who have met women who literally will say to them, like, look, I get that you're poly, but, like, if you want to date me, you can't see these other people. And unfortunately, some men will, I mean, I was going to say men are weak in general, but I don't want to generalize, hashtag not all men. But if she's cute enough, they'll just say, oh, you know, I'll stop seeing other people. And then that will only last for so long because they're poly. Right.
Exactly.
And so,
okay? So this is the thing. So that's the difference, right? Between if you're a poly person versus you're just single, monogamous, but kicking it, just single. Not only the communication, but the fact that you're actively agreeing upon being in an emotional relationship with multiple people. Like, being in a relationship with multiple
people. Well, yeah, being in a relationship, sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it isn't. I know a lot of people where they're, like, they're just friends. Like, especially out here, there's so many people who are, like, friends. And they maybe do a little play date here, maybe do a little play date there, and they're all just friends. And that's a thing that they all discuss, and it's very incestuous and all that, you know?
Gotcha.
You know, so it doesn't necessarily have to be, I mean, the...
It sounds like such an LA thing, now I'm thinking about
it. It's so LA. When I told someone that I was poly, they're like, yeah, you and every girl in LA. Like, everyone. Wow. It's apparently incredibly common.
I can't wait for that Netflix series.
It already came out. It wasn't...
It already came out?
She's got it. She's had it. The Spike Lee... What is it called?
Oh, she's all...
She's gotta have it.
Oh, she's gotta have it. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, I mean, that was theoretically about polyamory.
Oh, really?
That's how they framed it, okay. But I would not say it was
that a movie?
It was, and they turned it into a series.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think that Nola in that was polyamorous because she didn't tell anyone about anyone
until
the
very
end.
Yeah, no one knew about
each
other, yeah.
Yeah, that defeats the whole purpose.
I mean, I go on, like, I have, like, there's this guy that I've been dating for a year. It's so funny because I'm dating him since I'm in Orange County, and, like, half of our dates are me talking about either the good things that happen with other people or the really shitty things that happen with other people. And, like, we just have an open conversation, and then, like, Nola in that series, like, could not bring her, like, the whole thing was she didn't want to tell anyone about anyone, which I think a lot of poly people go through initially of, like,
yeah.
I don't want to tell other people about the people that I'm with. But at the end of the day, poly for me is all about communication. It's all about being open. It's all about being clear about what you want and what you don't. So
that's, I mean, I'm glad we're having this discussion because I think it really opens it up for a lot of people, you know?
No, yeah. And I guess it's like the more we talk about it too, like, I don't know, it's hard. I think there is a part of me, I really like the idea of being with one person, and I think it's more so for a time thing. Like, it's just, like, I barely have enough time to devote to one person, but there is also an appeal to, you know, having someone to go between. I don't know, like, but I think that in my heart, I think I only really have room to care about one person, but I would love to be open to the idea of it in case I think I'm always scared of there being a situation where it's like, I think that I might be in love with two people. And like, you know, that feeling of like, how do I choose?
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel like this is like, because I remember when my friend put me through all that, you know, open relationship drama. And in my heart, I was like, I can't understand what you're going through. And then now as I've gotten older, I'm just like, I feel like this is the universe being like, now you understand what she was feeling.
It's funny how shit goes. I mean, for me, like, this is going to totally sound like a joke, but I'm, like, only partially kidding, but I'm really not. But I'm going to frame it like a joke. Poly appeals to me because when the apocalypse eventually happens, I'm going to live on a badass compound, and I'm going to have a lot of people on there who know what they're doing, who all love each other. I just found someone who knows how to farm, and I'm like, well, you know, and he's interested in me.
I love that's going to be the new hot skills. Apocalyptic Tinder. It's like, oh, he's a farmer. Wow. Yeah,
I mean, someone, let's make that right now.
Wow.
We'll call it compound. You literally swipe on the people.
Just life skills.
Skills. I cook. I can farm. I'm useful in other ways. I'm a doctor.
Former Boy Scout.
These are all people, like, we need to all, because honestly, like, I just want, like, I think
your
about
survival
this.
Survival fuck squad.
I mean, I want to be well fucked and well taken care of. That's just the way that I want to live my life in the apocalypse personally. So I'm
sorry,
low key.
Guy that works at Equinox that could hook you up with a discount,
or yeah, you know,
the guy that works at Disney, you know, it's like,
we're having interviews, and you know, what are your what can you contribute? That's the way I start every day. What can you contribute to my compound?
My sex compound. my sex apocalyptic compound. Sex compound. That's the first date talk, right? Okay.
That's the name of my book.
That's the name of
Apocalypse Sex Compound.
Sex Compound. Like, sign me up. Nah, it'd be pretty worthless. Very city boy. Probably
there's still time. There's still
time. In the first wave.
You can get a skill right now that will make you worthy of survival.
I think I just hit up all my sides to show up at the same time, and they just have a battle royale in front. You know, I'm like, sorry for the lack of communication. It's just that'll be it. Who will stay with me? That's really interesting. I'm just confused because I can't do it. I can barely handle one human being's emotional.
I also work for myself. I have a lot of time.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, more strength to all the people that could have multiple meaningful. Mm-hmm. I think that's a beautiful thing that you could love multiple people at a certain time and have these precious moments, and it's all understanding and no one's in trouble. Mm-hmm. That sounds great. I just, you know, when the bad days happen, when I got to fight with two people. Oh my god!
But then there's a third you can go cuddle with.
Like, and she's like, "Babe, they're yelling at me."
I'm
like,
yeah, I'm like, literally.
I'll make you some dinner, and then would they get mad because they're knocking on the door for the third bae? And then it's like, well, leave me alone. This third bae time. It's Tuesday at 3:00. You know your day's on Thursdays.
Well, I guess so. How often do you fight in your polyamorous relationships? Because that's what your fear is that you'd be fighting a lot. So how often do you say fights occur?
So I've not yet really had a fight. The only fights I've had are when people just don't communicate, you know, like up until like last week, I would say that I was seeing three people. But that person, I texted him Monday, haven't heard from him since last Monday. And so for me, it's like, I'm sure when he eventually comes around, I'm going to probably tell him, like, you know, this is really fucked up because we're not, you know, you're leaving me in the dark. Cause his whole situation is he's married. And he has a wife who is actually very poly, but poly was like not his thing, but now it's sort of becoming his thing. And maybe she's a little uncomfortable with him being super poly because they both work a lot and they only have so much time to spend with each other. So it's like sometimes when it's time for him to see me, like, not that she's upset about it, but it's like, oh, you know, like, he's doing a lot of fun things with me that maybe they would like to have done together. And so we see each other, like, the rule, in quotations, we see each other, like, every 2 weeks. And he communicated all that to me up front early on. And so I was like, cool. Like, now at least I know where we are and what's going to become. And, you know, I see enough people to not really be like, oh, God, I have to see you all the time. He doesn't text, you know, when I'm asking him about logistics, and he has not, again, responded to my text message. And so that's going to be a fight if he eventually does come back around, you know.
Wow. So you could be a fuckboy in a polyamory.
And you know what?
You could be, the rules apply the same way, y'all.
There are.
Even with a wife, you could still be a fuckboy. It's totally cool.
Let me fucking tell you, there are a lot of polyamorous fuckboys. That's the thing that's interesting because, Like, so, like, when I first moved out here, there's a guy that I started dating through the poly community. He was like, I went to this, like, a poly event that happens every month in LA. I won't tell you because I don't want to be stalked, but it's a good event. And he was, like, the first person who said hi to me. And what I've learned, especially if you're trying to become part of the poly community, is there are people who get very, they see the girl who's new. They see the person who has not been here before and doesn't really know everyone.
Oh, you got that fresh and blood.
So, the fresh blood. Yeah. So they've got the, oh, who are you? And so I started dating this guy who I didn't find out until like months after we stopped dating was 100% the sort of person who dates new people and then gets bored and then like drops them, you know? And that's basically what happened in our situation. He did that weird thing where he breaks up with me, but like, he doesn't quite, like, he's breaking up with me and framing it as though it's, like, my fault. Everything's my fault, but, like, is completely ignoring his faults entirely. Fuckboy. Complete, total fuckboy.
Funny.
And that still happens, and he's, like, one of those people who's got to be the loudest in the room. Everyone has to hear him. That's very common, where you'll have, like, these men who are, like, the center of certain poly communities, and of course all of these new girls want to date them and this and this and that, and so they do, and then they still do the fuckboy shit. And you would think it wouldn't happen, but it does, because some people get that sort of drunk on power sort of thing in certain spaces.
So a fuckboy move, it could just be like, I'm gonna be poly for a sec so I could be the new guy, and then just like go through that.
Why are you offering fuckboys all of this, like,
no information longer poly anymore? thanks.
I'm really curious about what your experience is like being Black and trans in that space, and like, has that ever been?
Ooh, that's a lot to talk about. That's a lot to talk about. Yeah. So, unfortunately, a lot of the poly community is very white. A lot of communities around sex positivity and kink and things like that tend to be very painfully white. And so,
well, yeah, because I'd be thinking about my mom. Like, even though I shouldn't, and I'm a grown woman, like, I just know that, like, you know, you try to think about those things and you just see the Black mama coming, dragging your ass, bringing you to church. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I Googled polyamory on Google Image, and it was a bunch of groups of white people.
Yeah.
And I think they probably hired the one Black guy in the background.
Yeah, they have to have the diversity hire.
Tax breaks. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so what you'll have a lot. So my thing and what I've noticed about polyamory, and so it's weird because polyamory in one way it's made me very confident and open. In other ways, it's really deeply invigorated insecurities of mine, because when you sort of look around the room and you see like who is in a marriage, long-term relationship, you know, who is a primary, right, out of the women in the room, right? It's usually a white woman. Generally speaking, it is a small, thin, short, cis white woman who is like, you can carbon copy her and just like put her with various different men of all races. And that is who ends up being like the accidental primary of, you know, all of these men. Because one of the things you see, I mean, it's like...
Do you see a lot of men of color in that space?
You know what? Yes, and they're all dating white women.
Damn.
I mean, not across the board. There are people who, but like there's a, like, I've, I can't, like, so it's funny. In a way, it's sort of,
I feel like you got a sermon.
I have a sermon. Really, this is like, ooh, I've got so much to say. Because all of my partners currently are either white or Jewish. And it's not by my design. It's not like that's all who I'm attracted to. It's more like the men of color, especially the Black men in the scene, are chasing white women, you know. And I've definitely had a conversation with a guy at a polyamory event who was really, really handsome. I was really, really into him. And it was just like he saw a white woman come out of the corner of his eye and had to like divert conversation so fast. And so that's very, very common, because what happens with this, because everyone, like I said, it's like dating on speed. You see more clearly than you probably would before, the social sort of, the things, like the standards of people in dating, the types of people are seen as acceptable to date. You'll see that very clearly, you'll see that white supremacy still sort of exists in a lot of people's, like, dating preferences, you know? And so even though I'm someone who, like, I don't want a primary, I definitely don't want a nesting partner. I've told my friends, if you see me moving with someone in the next 3 years, stop me. Like, I still think to myself, is this white man who's married to this white woman, is he just sort of excited by the fact that I'm black, by the fact that I'm trans? And is he just trying to spice up his relationship with his boring cis white wife? Is like, is that what's happening? Because I know that that's how some people are, because, I do have a sermon. I mean, because one thing you do see sometimes, specifically with black men, and you do see it with black women, but it's definitely a black man thing, is you do have these white couples who, what they are looking for is a big black man to cuck the man in the relationship and just give her the BBC in the way that, you know, he could never satisfy her. And so I've definitely seen the
white. It's like Get Out.
It's
a party.
It's definitely, you get that vibe. I mean, what was in Orange County, one of my first experiences with a couple that was open was, I thought they were like best friends and like we were all hanging out at their place, and slowly but surely they revealed to me that they're a couple and they were open. And the night before, they had gotten the big black bouncer to come over and fuck them. Well, not her. But they were disappointed because, you know, the black guy wasn't as well endowed as they had heard. You know, they had these expectations.
Such like old plantation talk.
Yeah, my God.
It's like, the old black man wasn't well as endowed as we thought he was.
It was very that. Very Queen of Spades. As they sipped their tea. That,
good, you know? God.
And then, she like, because she was hitting on me, and I'm very, unfortunately, I describe myself as tragically heterosexual.
Tragically.
I was very thankful that she was interested, but I was really not. And she sort of like leaned forward to me because they did not know that I was trans. And she said, we just thought that, you know, black men had, you know, big penises and black women have deeper and wetter vaginas.
Good.
And I was like, wow, this is some racist shit. Now, side note, I was high as fuck. I had an edible a little bit earlier and I was high. And so usually I'd be like, fuck you, you racist bitch. But I was just like,
I just can't believe like the openness with which they would say.
Oh, something. They ease into it. You know, it was a slow burn after I was high enough.
You could question whether or not they said it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did they just say the most racist shit I've ever heard?
You know, and it was so weird to me because then the guy was like, you know, I'm usually not even attracted to black women, but like, I just saw you.
Good God.
And you're just so, you know, he kept saying that.
This is my 10-minute play. I have to write a 10-minute play for school, and I'm just like, oh my God.
I mean, this, you could take it because it was so bizarre. And then he expected me to be like very flattered by that, like, he usually wouldn't fuck a black girl, but like,
that is so ridiculous. You know, that's so hilarious though, because like, this free and open sexual space where communication and stuff and all that, and the same ignorance.
Yeah, and you know what, and what's so aggravating to me about it is these spaces are very liberal spaces. I'm not saying that there aren't like Republican.
It's Get Out. Like, this is literally like the sexualized version of Get Out.
It
like,
is. It
I would have voted for Obama. I would have fucked Obama for a third term if I could have.
Like, these places are very, very liberal. And so it's sometimes aggravating to like see that even though these are people who are also like at the poly that I go to all the time, they've got like, put your pronouns on your name card. And, you know, they're all trying to their best, but you still see that at the end of the day, these people really only have meaningful relationships with white people, have really only meaningful relationships with cis people, and all the people outside of that are the side partners, are the people who, you know, are never really going to get to a point where they're ever going to be a primary with any of these people. And so, I mean, for me, like, I date everybody, and, you know, I'm open to stuff, and I'm so much not trying to, like, I don't want a man right now who's going to make decisions about any part of my life. So I'm not looking for a primary at all. But I know that that's what I'm going to want, but it's definitely, I don't know. probably not going to be within people in the poly circle that I am involved in sometimes, because it's just, I just feel like they're never going to ever look at people who are not cis and white and say, oh, that should be my long-term partner. It's like, this is a curiosity. This is a new, different right. sort of thing. Because I still, I mean, look, I'll go to these poly things and white women will still grab my hair. You know, Jesus. They'll still make all types of little comments about, you know, how, you know, beautiful my skin is and this, this and that. And I'm like, thank you. But I know you're being weird right now.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're just responding to the fact that I'm Black. But I will say that one of the things that I've discovered from participating in some of these spaces is like, you'll have like Black people who will come and they'll look around and they'll see if there's other Black people there. And sometimes if they see me or another Black person, they're able to sort of say, you know what, maybe I can be here. Because a lot of the reason why you don't see a lot of people of color in these spaces is because they just don't feel like they're welcome.
Yeah, they don't feel comfortable.
I like that.
They don't feel...
Just a sec, sorry. Oh. That was really good. I just want to be able to record that because the camera died. Hold that thought. It was so good.
You should get what I have, which is like a, just a, it's that, but attached to a cord, so it never dies.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like a DC cable.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a good idea.
It's, I only use that. I don't even use my internal batteries.
No, you're good. That makes sense. I think it came with a cable originally, but I have this camera.
I still have it. I think it's like an aftermarket thing. It's like, I mean, at least that's what I got. I got the bootleg one, and it works.
Boom. Okay. So you said rolling? It's good that you're in that space.
Oh, yeah. So, what I'll say is that there are times where I've been involved in or should I just start over? what I will say is there are times where I've been involved in polyamorous spaces where I've seen Black people try to participate, and maybe they'll like scan the room, and if they don't like see a Black person, they might not feel comfortable being there. So even though I'm talking about all this white fuckery that happens in like the poly community, for me, I do think it's important for me to be there, because by me being there, there will be other people of color who will feel more comfortable in those spaces, because that community is, it's important. I mean, there's so many like support groups, conversation groups, there's so many resources that are all there. And so I think sometimes the space is just being white. I mean, maybe it's because polyamory is a thing that feels more accessible to white people. But I will say that at the end of the day, a lot of the reasons why they're white is because people just don't feel welcome. So,
wow. I'm glad we hit on that. I was like really kind of curious, what did that space look like? Because yeah, it was a full on page, just white people.
It's a big issue. One of my friends, Kevin Patterson, he wrote a book called Love Is Not Colorblind, which is about a Black man's experience within the polyamory community. And he talks a lot about that. And it's I think it's a really great book. I'm still reading through it. But if you're a person of color, you're curious about polyamory, I would 100% suggest that book as a resource to read about being a person of color in poly.
Nice. I love that. This really opened up the doors for me. I really got to kind of see what it's all about, because, like, I don't know. I live a busy lifestyle, and I tend to, you know, it's like you have that monogamous relationship, you think that's the only option, and you tend to have, like, preconceived notions and not really, like, know what is entailed in those.
What
different...
if your wife was into poly, or the girl you
if
were
my
dating?
My wife was into poly.
Yeah, if your the girl you were dating was into poly.
Well, this is the thing. This is what kind of what I realized through this conversation is that my intimacy is monogamous.
Mm.
Like my emotions. Are
so you're
monogamous.
Not a fuckboy at all.
So I could, yeah, I no, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
He's just someone that talks like a fuckboy.
Okay. Okay.
So like I can't. It's interesting. Where I have the best sexual experiences with people that I'm comfortable with, even in a casual sense. But as far as taking that next step, I could only really give my emotions to one person. So I wouldn't be able to share in that way, because I guess I'm that guy where it's like, why would I go, you know, get you groceries if you're just over here doing the thing? I love you, girl.
Why wouldn't you get me groceries while I'm having sex with one of my
other partners? Yeah, why are you having sex with, you know, boyfriend number two?
I feel like that's love. You're like, I'm sucking a dick over here. Could you please go get me some stuff for dinner later? I'll make dinner for all of us.
And that's
but right
dope.
Now, I really got to suck a dick.
And I think that's super dope. where that is the polyamory. Case. And that's polyamory. You can suck dicks while it's multitasking. It's more productive lifestyles.
You know what?
I've got coordinate. And,
because if I was just fucking you and it was your job to go get the groceries, like who would get?
No one's getting groceries.
An hour late. And then if I'm having sex with you and there's someone else getting groceries, we could have dinner right after I'm done.
Never mind. I'm into polyamory now. Yeah. Makes sense.
Convenience. You know?
But I wouldn't be able to. I guess date a person, because ultimately, if that's the end goal is the relationship, and mm-hmm. this is my version of relationship, and their version is that, why are we building? We're building
where
are two
we
different
going?
Things.
I get.
You know? I was just curious because you know your big thing was like, oh, you know, the fights and all of that, and mm-hmm. so it's like, you know, if that's eliminated because she is now polyamorous, like, would that still appeal to you?
Well, I think she still expects things out of me. Like, there's expectations.
Oh, of course.
Oh, I can't just like hang out. I got to deal with her bad days. I have to hear her problems. I have to, you know, we have to help her out.
And you're not going to do that if she's fucking someone else.
And then she's fucking somebody else. I, that's my thing. It's hard. It's like, why, I mean, I don't know, why take time out of the way?
Wow.
Because
I feel like that's somebody contract. Else to...
Because I'm single because I don't have to.
Like, but I'm saying if there's like, a second, another person there, who's to say that you're going to take all of the heat of her bad days?
Oh, exactly. You can split it.
You
can split it.
I can split it. Okay, you take... When she has a bad day on the weekends, I'll take it Mondays through Thursdays.
Mm-hmm. You only want her when she's happy.
Oh yeah, only come when you have the happy days. No, I don't know. I think this is what I was thinking through the conversation of maybe I haven't found a person that I'm that like trustworthy and comfortable with, like I'm in love with.
I get it.
That like I feel we feel each other so much on such a deep level. Mm. Go.
I get it. You know, and honestly, a lot of the people that I know, their polyamory came after they had like years and years and years of an established relationship where they're like, look, we love each other and this is something that we want to do and this is who we are and this is how we feel. But we still love each other and we're going to be with each other. You know?
I think that might be what it is. Mm-hmm. I think that might be what it is. Because I mean, I'm fresh in the game of just like, you know, relationship style, mm-hmm. you know, or just being single for a long time. So I feel like, yeah, being in a relationship with the same person, building that trust, understanding that, like, hey, I got you, you got me, but go do your thing. And I guess that trust is there, needs to be mm-hmm. there. And I don't know what that feels like. So yeah. maybe if I do feel that, then maybe I might be a little more open to that.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, you got to trust. I mean, that's trust is a really, really big part of it. You've got to be able to have trust with the person that you're with. Because, I mean, like, I have, so we were talking about cheating earlier. I have a friend of mine who... they sort of have an agreement that like, look, if you're going to do something, make sure you can do it. But like, tell me, you know, just yeah, like, yeah. let me know what you're up to, if anything, so I know you're being safe and so I know that you're safe. And so he discovered that his girlfriend, that he loves really, really deeply, had been like sleeping with someone behind his back for like 3 months.
Yikes.
Like, and so that was a betrayal because he had trusted her, but she wasn't communicating. And,
right.
You know, that... Unfortunately, it was something that led to them not being with each other anymore. So,
damn.
You know, even though they were so open, you know, even though people are so open, there's still people who they lack the trust, which is why some poly stuff just, you know, it doesn't end up working out sometimes because they don't truly have that trust.
Okay, one more question for me. Mm-hmm. Who do you take to the holidays? Who do you take to Thanksgiving
yet.
And Christmas?
No one yet.
Okay. Do you bring all of them?
You know, I've never had a conversation with my parents yet about poly. It's not that it's a secret, but I've not talked to them. I mean, my parents, in my last relationship, it took my parents a very long time for them to even refer to my boyfriend as my boyfriend. Like, so it was, I mean, and we were like clearly dating, clearly with each other. They were like, oh, that's your friend. And so for me, it's like when my parents have a hard time wrapping their mind around me dating people, it's like, why would I would tell them, oh, by the way, I'm dating five. Like, it's not something that, you know, honestly, a lot of people I know, like their parents don't know, or they do have a partner they bring home, who is their primary, but they don't necessarily know that they're also dating other people. So there's people I know where like the guy that I was dating early on, in the poly community, like he has one secret Instagram where he doesn't have his kids or his family or friends or anywhere on that because he just wants a space to like publish stuff about his partners. Because
okay.
if he can't post like makes three sense. Different pictures of him kissing or making out with or being around, being with someone, you know, that he
oh
loves.
Oh my gosh,
you know?
The Instagram of a polyamorous person. Whoa.
Yeah.
I can't even.
Because some, I mean, a lot of people are also like, oof. I often forget, like I'm a pretty public fucking person. A lot of people, they've got jobs and parents and family and friends, I'm not friends as much, but there are people they have to worry about knowing that they're polyamorous. And so, you know, it's a dicey sort of thing. Like with the partner that I've been dating at long distance, we had a thing where I posted a picture of us in like a private Facebook group that his wife was a part of, and they had not really told the community that they were not together anymore. And so even within that, there was like this thing of like, well, I don't want other people necessarily like, well, she was, he didn't give a fuck, but she was like, oh, I don't really want people in our business like this. You know, she can't post that because it's making other people feel a certain way.
Interesting. Mm. Wow. All right, well, man.
This was such an intriguing conversation.
It's so funny. Poly is so normal to me that, like, when I talk about it with other people, like, yeah, I guess it is different from the way most people live.
Well, I don't think it is that different. I think it truly is the communication thing. Yeah. Because, yeah, you know, there are, again, more often than not, a lot of people who be cheating. And so it's like, you know, and I think at the end of the day, like, it's all about being fair to that person. Like, if you know that you can't commit and, like, if you truly do love that person, then you'll leave them and let them go and let them find the person that will actually make them happy in a monogamous relationship.
Yep, I totally agree, which is why I try to tell people, like, wherever I have these guys, we're like, yeah, I'm going to see this girl and she wants to be monogamous. I'm like, okay, well, we'll see how long that lasts. And honestly, like fucking clockwork, give it 3 months. Give it 3 months. And they're already in my DMs like, hey, so, you know, what are you up to?
That's funny.
So, you know, and it's just,
you up?
Yeah, you up?
Well, I guess we could say this episode could be, is a polyamorous relationship right for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what you want to call it?
I think so.
I don't know. It's not poppy enough. I don't know.
It's not poppy enough?
Maybe.
Do you want to fuck a bunch of people? But with emotions.
It's not just threesome, polyamory and more.
Yeah.
That's bad. I was. You ever see like those, I'm sure you have like a copy of this. I forget the name of it, but it's like this, the best practices for like headlines. It's like, you know, these different templates of like, it's like that. Oh, well, this one person has a very heartwarming story and you'll never guess what happens next. It's like.
Oh, things like that.
That's what I was trying to come up with.
Yeah.
This game, since Daisha took away my intro, I'll explain the game at the end. So,
can you handle explaining the game,
please,
though?
Please. Mm. So it's called Scroll Double Tap DM.
Okay.
And we're going to have three
There's
different...
There's not enough pep in your voice, okay?
I'm dealing like, with the cold right now, okay?
Let's think on it.
You come for me about my
like
Zanny's
on Coachella. I'm just saying, well, it's called Scroll Double Tap DM. You choose three different options we're going to give you to either scroll right past, double tap to like, or DM. Doesn't have to be sexual, or it can be sexual.
Okay.
It's just pretty much a different version of Fuck, Marry, Kill.
You know what I mean? Okay, and it's what, again, it's so complicated.
It's just like Instagram. It's so like scroll Instagram. Past, double tap,
so it's a no.
DM.
Double tap because I like, DM because I want to fuck.
Yes, sure.
I'm just saying, no one's ever been lost when I gave directions. But
yes, they have. I'm pretty sure that's how every single conversation
okay,
went.
Okay,
okay. So since we're talking about polyamory and everything else, the closest we could get as far as celebrities go, because the lack of... digital socialness, it's only open relationships. So we're gonna go with three open relationship celebrity couples, but we're gonna mix and match all of them into different pairs.
Okay? Oh, interesting.
Yes. So since they're open, they're all gonna be mixed up with you. So first option, Will Smith and Ashton Kutcher. Second option, Jada Pinkett Smith and Brad Pitt. Third option, Angelina.
I did not know that Ashton Kutcher was in a fucking open relationship.
Yeah. Angelina Jolie.
Sorry.
Is it Angelina Jolie? Angelina? What? Who's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then Demi Moore. So those two.
So yeah, Ashton was in an open relationship with Demi Moore.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I wonder if him and Mila are.
I mean, we live in Hollywood.
I feel like they locked that down. I don't know. Well, actually, no. You're right. Hollywood. Never mind.
I mean, I'll find them. I'll be at an event. And I'll be like, oh my God, I'll just like be randomly talking about Polly. Like, oh my God, isn't that cool? Wait, you're Polly? That's so interesting. We should hang out sometime.
Yeah, I mean, no. Yeah.
So I had to pick of those couples, who would I
scroll, so they're paired. So, okay. So Will and Ashton is paired. Okay. Jada and Brad is paired. And Angelina and Demi are paired.
So I'm going to DM Will and yeah, Will and Ashton.
Okay.
I'm going to, what was the second pair?
Jada and Brad.
Oh, that's tough. I double tap, and I would scroll past the last one.
Angelina and Demi?
I know, even though Angelina Jolie, beautiful, want to, like, inspect her face forever.
But, wow.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, first of all, I don't like women, so there's that.
Gotta look deeper than their...
I know. I mean, I feel like Angelina Jolie in a very butch sort of, like, if she got, like, really butch, I think she could, like, maybe make me curious. But, like, for now, like...
I mean, she did say she was tragically heterosexual, so...
Yeah, I really... And you know what? That's the thing that does sort of suck about some... About being poly in a way, is that if I were bi, I think my opportunities for poly dating would be opened up so much more, because a lot of people only date as a couple. And if I'm not into the wife, it's like, I'm not going to date you guys both just to get your husband. That's sort of silly. Mm.
But, you know, you could think of, like, personalities and whatnot.
I mean, I definitely think that, like, I would get along with Angelina Jolie. Like, I feel like her and I would, like, just, we would really have, like, a good bond. Like, we'd be sisters.
Gotcha.
I feel like I would be annoyed by Will Smith and Ashton Kutcher, but I would let them fuck me. It's always those people. It's always those ones where it's just, like, you're not very smart, but, like, I know you know how to fuck. So, like, let's, you know, let's do that. I would double tap, I don't even remember the second pair, Brad Pitt and Jada
Pinkett.
Yeah, because they're both, I love Jada Pinkett Smith. I think Jada is just, like, one of the most badass women ever. And Brad Pitt's just, like, I don't know.
Isn't he problematic? I feel like
he's racist.
He's, like, a drunk
Didn't he say some shit about the Me Too movement? Like, I just feel like he's said some shit. But I can't tell if it's Brad Pitt or Ben Affleck. I'm getting all my white men confused.
To be completely honest, they all look alike to me. Like, they just... That face, I know you're a Hollywood person. Like, Brad Pitt, I know that people find him attractive, and I'm sure he is, but I can't think of what he looks like in my head.
I mean, Brad Pitt is problematic in the sense where he is, like, an alcoholic and he, like, cheated and stuff like that. So the relationship ended. They're not currently together.
No.
Yeah.
So, because he kind of screwed that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was
Ben Affleck did that, too. I think he's in rehab right now. Jennifer Garner took him to rehab.
Good. I love Jennifer Garner. Alias. I would DM
going on
them.
30.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, I don't know. I don't feel like I know Demi Moore like that. I do like Angelina. It's hard. I feel like each one has someone that I'm like, But the hard thing, too, is that two guys is a lot for me. We talked about this in the threesome episode. So, like, the idea of being fucked by two guys, I'm like, I just, like, I don't know. So then I'd feel like, all right, then maybe I would take Brad and Jada. But I'm just like, I don't really think I want Brad either. Like,
I knew you would have a problem with that one. I was like, I would definitely put these two together.
So you're doing the mean asshole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make it interesting. You can't make it easy.
Shit.
It's Brad Pitt.
Was he the one that was in the vampire movie, the Anne Rice one? Was that him? That was some other white man. Wow, I'm so racist. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was Tom Cruise.
That was Tom Cruise. Who is problematic? Tom Cruise is 100% problematic.
Yeah, I guess.
I would say. So I think I would DM Will Smith and Ashton, but I don't think we would fuck. I think that we would have a nice cuddle time.
Okay. Oh, I'm so into cuddling with two guys. Like, yeah. That's perfect. That's great.
I think we'd have a nice cuddle time. So, yeah. I mean, I guess that would leave... I think I would probably do the same combination as you.
Mm.
Yeah, because I feel like I couldn't scroll on Angelina as much as Brad is I couldn't scroll on Jada. I'm, like, getting all of the couples confused. I couldn't scroll on Jada. So as much as I don't really care for Brad, I feel like I have to double tap just for Jada. So then I would have to scroll past Demi and Angelina.
Interesting. Well, The thing is, I don't like having sex with dudes.
Oh, but you see, but you have to think about the personality. That's what you said.
That's the thing. Yeah, I this has been the ongoing thing, in case you haven't heard the other episodes, that I'm all about the post-sex conversation. And that's what matters most to me. Who am I going to lay in bed with and eat breakfast with the next day? Who am I going to smoke a joint with afterwards, and what are we going to talk about?
That's, I feel like that's hands down Will and Ashton.
Yeah, because, like, Will is, I mean, I feel like Will's a little detached from reality.
But he's been a celebrity for a
very long time.
Like, I love, like, talking to someone who just, like, doesn't know what the fuck's going on and, like, is just, like, interesting to have a conversation
with. I don't know. That kind of scares me in a way.
It reminds me of when Tiffany Haddish was telling her story and, like, he gets into her little small rental car and he's like, oh, wow, it's been a while since I've been in a real car.
Exactly. It's not tinted. But also, like, because Ashton Kutcher did a really good career for himself. Like, he's, like, entrepreneur, multimillionaire, has a shit ton of money outside of acting. He invested his money really well. Mm-hmm. So, as a business standpoint, I'd love to just, like, be naked with those guys in bed and just talk about, like, finances. That'd probably be the biggest thing. And then, like, just how to be successful. Mm-hmm. What was it? Jada Pinkett Smith. I would love to have sex with Jada Pinkett Smith. So badly.
On the record.
But I have to see Brad Pitt's old saggy ass there. And I don't know if I could block that out of my head.
Do you think his ass is saggy? I feel like he's
kind of old now. He's like,
he like works out, I think.
Yeah, but there's some sag. Are they? Okay. Like the knees are probably going.
The knee wrinkles.
his elbows and knees are like French bulldogs cheeks.
Oh my god.
I just feel like that's the case. Just because he's gonna be there, like yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he would 100% be in the corner jerking off while people of color fuck.
Yeah, totally.
Like, that's totally Brad Pitt's thing.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's where I'm torn sexually, and then also I'd love to just kick it with Jada. Mm-hmm. And then Demi Moore and Angelina Jolie. I have a hard scroll because I don't really give a shit about any of them.
Angelina's done dope shit, but it's Demi Moore that I'm like.
I just don't remember anything about her other than like she was in that movie in like the 90s,
right? And that she and Ashton were together.
Yeah.
Actually, never mind. For the sake of story, to have sex with both of them would be pretty epic. So.
And then you tell people that and be like, okay, yeah, but we don't remember anything about them, so.
No!
Well, Angelina's iconic, that's Demi Moore.
Demi Moore, yeah, I guess. Poor Demi. She did put a lot of work in.
Yeah.
She was just famous for a second because she was, like, 50 and looked really hot, and she was, like, in a movie. I think she was in, like, Charlie's Angels or something, in, like, earlier
Demi 2000s. Moore?
Yeah.
Definitely don't.
She was, like, bad...
I don't remember her being 50 and hot. I think she's 50 and hot now.
No way! That's why, because she got with Ashton, because that was Bruce Willis's former wife. And he was cool with it.
I can't keep up.
Yeah, that's throwback MTV shit. They all
fucking each other. The truth is they're all fucking each other.
Okay, fine. I will DM, find Will Smith and Ashton Kutcher, and then I will... God damn it, I really want to have sex with Jada Pinkett Smith.
You're going to have to take Brad.
I don't want him. I really don't want him. Ah, screw it. Okay, yeah. Double tap Jada and Brad and scroll past. Did we all choose the same thing?
We really did.
Damn it.
We had an interesting process through all of it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all had our own process.
Well, it was hard. Like, Jada was, it was just like, you put her up against someone that just couldn't handle.
Well, I respect Brad's movies, at least. So, it's like, okay, I'll sleep with you. It's fine. Mm. But, yeah, that's generally it. Okay. That's the first time we all agreed. Like, this is the first Real Talk Love Therapy where we all agreed on the same.
It's just like polyamory.
Really?
Not at all.
No. Not at all at all.
I was just going to say that it's like energetic.
Maybe that's the beauty of it, that we are talking about this.
Yeah,
it's all the same.
And we all agree. And
we all agree.
It's beautiful.
And it's all amazing, beautiful communication. Mm-hmm. And that's why it works.
And everyone consented.
All right, Kat, that was such an amazing conversation.
Thank you.
Yes.
Where can people find you on these internet streets?
Just type in Kat Black on Google. You'll find my
Do you want to spell it for them?
Because Oh, that's right. Yeah. Because I'm complicated and it's not spelled the way that you would usually spell it. It's BlaqueKatBlaqueE. I chose that staging because my name is Catherine and I'm black, so it's like I'm like a black cat. So yeah, it's pretty easy to remember.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For sitting on the couch, chatting with us. Always learned so much. And everyone, tune in next time for some Real Talk Love Therapy.